You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
We are in a season at Mercy Culture called the Season of Mercy. The foundational scripture that God gave us as we planted this church was Exodus 33:13. Teach me your ways that I may know you and find favor. We're in our first series on the ways of God. Quick recap, in part one, we said it's impossible to know the ways of God without knowing the Holy Spirit. In part two, we talked about unity. Unity is when we trade our will for the Father's perfect will. And when we're in unity with the Holy Spirit, it automatically puts us in unity with each other. Week three, we talked about generosity. And generosity is when you freely and extravagantly give from a place of faith when the only objective is to please God. How you're not even beginning to operate in generosity until you start honoring God with your tithe. If you notice at Mercy Culture, we don't pass the plates, we don't take up tithes and offerings, and the reason why is because we want to teach you how to be obedient to God, not do a 10-minute motivational speech to encourage you to give. So your obedience in honoring God, that's between you and God, and we're going to teach you how to obey God. So if you want to rob God, that's between you and God, but we're not going to take time in the church service to motivate people to do that. And in part four, we talked about righteousness. Righteousness has been removed from scripture because it's been removed from our lives. And righteousness is the DNA of heaven. Scripture says when we seek first righteousness, everything else will be added. In part five, we talked about the fear of the Lord. And you can experience the presence of God, but you can't dwell in it without the fear of the Lord. In part six, we talked about unseating principalities. If you have that graph, if you'd put it up on the screen. In prayer, I saw four principalities over the city of Fort Worth over the last 2 years as I've prayed and fasted. The first one I saw was over the east side of the city. I saw a principality. What is a principality? It's a high-ranking demonic force. So I saw this high-ranking demonic force of competition over the east side. The next one I saw was greed over the west side. We're on the west side. The next one I saw was lust over the south side. And then I saw rebellion over the north side. And it's amazing because as the Lord began to speak to me, how do you unseat principalities? You don't go and foolishly attack demonic forces that you don't have authority over. You declare the highest authority over it. So you lift up, that's how you unseat principalities, you lift up the highest authority. So we lift up unity over competition. We lift up generosity over greed. We lift up righteousness over lust. And we declare the fear of the Lord over rebellion. Because here's the thing is when you're walking in the ways of God, you're automatically fighting spiritual warfare. You don't have to go and go to a spiritual warfare seminar to fight spiritual warfare. You have to live godly. And that's how you win in spiritual warfare. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I was debating if I should be teaching on Jezebel, do a part two of spiritual warfare, or just move into the next series. And then Pastor Israel came last week as a guest speaker, and he started talking about Ahab. And as soon as he started talking about Ahab and Jezebel, I was like, all right, Lord, I hear you. So we're going to do part two, unseating principalities, the spirit of Jezebel. How many ready to rock? Revelations chapter 2, verse 20 says this, but I have this against you. You have tolerated, someone say tolerated, that woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophetess. By teaching, she misleads my servants to be sexually immoral and to eat food of sacrifice to idols. Even though I have given her time to repent for her immorality, she is unwilling. Behold, I will cast her on a bed of sickness, and all those that commit adultery with her will suffer greatly, great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. See, you could be influenced, you can't be influenced by the spirit of Jezebel when you are fully surrendered to the Lord. Let's pray. So, Lord, we declare this is your place, this is your space. Have your way. We're your people. Holy Spirit, we don't make room for you. We give you the room. You are the guest of honor. This is a church that's not built around a man, a personality, or a ministry. This is a church that is built around your presence. So Holy Spirit, we say thank you for being so generous with your presence. Lord, we want as much of it as we can take. Lord, we declare that today you're giving us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your Spirit is saying. Lord, I pray right now that your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We declare your word is the highest authority. We declare your word is true and every man's a liar. Father, we declare we submit to your word today. We say no spirit, but the Holy Spirit is welcome here. Every demonic force, you are not welcome. We say, Holy Spirit, come have your way in this place. Lord, I thank you. No one came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Father, teach us your mercy culture. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen and amen. First things first, I'm going to be talking about the spirit of Jezebel today. I wrote a book a few years ago entitled Jezebel, the Witch is Back. I apologize, we only have about 30 copies in the bookstore. It was forwarded by my spiritual father, John Paul Jackson, who wrote a book 20 years before me. And I'm gonna be talking a little bit about the book, but in the book is basically just a Bible study on the scripture. So I wanna give a few warnings first. Number one, this is not a gender-related spirit we're dealing with. In fact, the biggest difference between 20 years ago when John Paul wrote his book and when I wrote my book a few years ago is that how many more men operate in the spirit today than they did 20 years ago. And I believe it's due to the demasculation of men in America. So this is not a gender-related spirit. So I'm going to say she when I'm referring to the spirit because the Bible talks about the woman Jezebel being a woman, but both men and women could operate in the spirit, okay? Number two. Jezebel doesn't like to be talked about or pointed out. So here's what happens is people start to mock this. Oh, okay, you charismatics, Pentecostals, are the Jezebels, woo, it's everywhere. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. What, do you not believe in the Antichrist? Like you just choosing things in the Bible you don't believe in? I don't understand. Because I just read a scripture that was written in red because it came from Jesus' mouth. So it's okay if you don't believe in it, she believes in you. People don't like, they mock it, they talk down to it. I've even had to tell people like, oh, I don't even like that book cover. Then one of my staff members says, is that you in the book cover? I'm like, no, it's not me in the book cover. We're hiring if you go to ZipRecruiter.com. Number three, we're not on a witch hunt. You don't have to like, is that Jezebel over there? I heard the toilet flush when I was sleeping in the middle of the night. Is that Jezebel? I think the Jezebel was in the grocery clerk. And listen, I can promise you the Jezebel is at the DMV. I can promise you that. If anyone works at the DMV, I apologize. But for real. You don't have to go and find it. She'll find you. And listen, Jezebel doesn't attack you because you're doing something wrong. She attacks you when you've done something right. The enemy doesn't deal with Christians that aren't doing anything. She comes after spirit-filled, soul-winning ministries, prophetic ministries, mercy culture. Okay, couple of things. Historically, this has been used to control women in the church. And I want to let you know it's evil. At Mercy Culture, we believe in empowering women. The Great Commission was for everyone to go out and make disciples, not the men. So it's been used to control strong women. But here's the thing is that they have created the Jezebel spirit in people by trying to control people. So if you've been manipulated and beat down by men in leadership, I want to apologize to you. And I want to give you permission to breathe, to rest. Don't feel beat up. Don't feel attacked. I'm going to teach on a spirit today. But I apologize if it's been used to abuse you. Just because... couple other warnings. You may have a few characteristics of the spirit of Jezebel, does not mean you're a full-blown Jezebel. Now, if you got 3, 4, 5, or 6 of these things, you may want to do some self-evaluation. And then I'm going to give you the last warning, because about 10 people are going to come to me after church if I don't say this. Listen, if you are concerned about being a Jezebel, you're probably not a Jezebel. If you are a Jezebel, you are not concerned about being a Jezebel because you're a Jezebel. It's kind of like the people that are young in their faith come up to you and they're like, I think I've committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You're like, no, you haven't. How do you know? Because if you were worried you did, I promise you, you didn't. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is a life of a seared, hard heart that rejects the mercy of God. So if you're concerned about being it, it's a good thing. In fact, I had a friend of mine who read my book. And he said, Landon, he's like, there's Jezebel characteristics in me. And I was like, me too. That's why I'm working on them all the time. That's actually a very, very healthy thing. And then the last thing before we begin today is I want to warn you, if you sit here for the next 35, 40 minutes and you're just thinking about someone else, you're missing the whole point of today. Because the greatest way to deal with the Jezebel spirit is dealing with it in you first. The spirit of Jezebel is a demonic, power-hungry spirit that uses witchcraft to control God's people and God's church. This is a seductive, political, religious spirit that targets prophetic, spirit-led, soul-winning ministries and people. This is a divisive spirit that destroys lives, families, and ministries, and the closest of friends. Above all, the spirit of Jezebel will stop at nothing until you abandon the call of God that is on your life. The people of God are tolerant of it, because they are unaware of it. First, who was Jezebel? Jezebel was the seductive prophetess of the false god Baal. Jezebel was the daughter of king priest of Sidon named Ethbaal. We find it in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30. It's in your notes. It said, when Ahab, son of Omri, did what was evil in the Lord's sight, even more than any of the other kings before him. And though it were not enough to follow the examples of Jeroboam, he married Jezebel, the daughter of King Ethbaal of the Sidonians. And he began to bow down and worship Baal. Jezebel means this, if you're taking notes, without dwelling or cohabitation. Unmarried, uncommitted, or unhusbanded. It means this, Jezebel will not submit. The word unhusband means to refuse to live in peaceful cohabitation. When Ahab, the reigning king of Israel, married Jezebel, he directly aligned God's people with God's enemy. What was this religion of Jezebel's? Let me tell you. The high priest of Baal, Ethbaal, personally mentored his daughter in the heathen worship of the pagan god of sexuality and spiritual war. Ethbaal means man of Baal, or men is with him. The king was entirely devoted to Baal and completely indoctrinated his daughter in the notion that she was the ally of Baal, and her goddess of fertility was not only the giver of life, but the giver of death. He gave her assignment to bring death and destruction to all those that would oppose Baal. So accordingly, he named her Jezebel. Jezebel worshiped Astarte, the Canaanite goddess of fertility, also called Ishtar. She usually regarded as the goddess of love and sensual pleasure. The Syrians also fostered her identification as the goddess of war. Let's say that again. She was the goddess of love and the goddess of war. I would propose to you that when the world is championing a God of love, they're not talking about Yahweh. So when they're saying love is love, God is love, we just need to love anyone, everyone, and then they put a big rainbow heart at the Super Bowl, that love is not the love of God. Now, how do you know this is not the love of God? Because as soon as you cross this God of theirs, they turn to war. and they will beat you. They will insult you. They will persecute you. They will come against you with everything they have. They will make sure that you can't stand against them. You can't talk against them. They will intimidate you with everything they have. If you do not bow to their God of love, it means war. If you don't bow to our God of love, we're taught to love our enemies, to turn the other cheek. When they take our cloak, to give them our tunic too. We're taught to love our enemies. This God that they serve destroys their enemies. 1 Kings 16, 20, or 32, it says, first Ahab built a temple on the altar of Baal in Samaria. Then he set up an Asherah pole. He did more to provoke the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than any other kings did before him. See, Baal worship was the ultimate rejection of our God. The worship of Baal rejects the holiness that is set up by Yahweh and encourages every indulgence in self-pleasing sexual desires as a part of self-worship. Huh. If you see perversion or immorality, it's Baal. Though the worship of Baal came from Dagon, because Baal was the son of Dagon. Dagon, Ashtaroth, Molech, all combined for erratic acts of perverted heterosexual relationships, homosexual activity, violent sexual acts, body piercing, including genitals, body cutting, and infatuation with blood, both drinking and draining, and prostitution and ceremonial orgies. That was their church. So imagine what happened here. Imagine if we have Pasco High School here, and in the other gym down the hall, another church, and their whole activity was ceremonial orgies were across the hall. That's what King Ahab did in Israel. He built these churches of perversion to Baal. Then he started chasing out every prophet, every pastor, every spiritual leader that would stand against him. They chased them out and they faced death. You know what that's like today? You'll lose your 501c3. If you preach on traditional marriage, you're gonna lose your 501c3. Then take it and we'll pay taxes. But what if they take it? Well, what if they take it? Does it change the Bible? And just because something's legal in America doesn't make it lawful in the kingdom. So watch. So Ahab now directly aligns God's children with God's enemies. They were also, Baal worship was also the originator of child sacrifice. Hear this. Abortion began with Baal. Let me say it differently. Abortion is Baal worship. Not being political today, but this is a political spirit. It's infiltrated politics. It's infiltrated the church. And what it does is it breaks down all righteousness, all morality, all godliness. So what they would do is they would have their church services of ceremonial orgies with homosexual practice. They would have homosexual prostitution and heterosexual prostitution. And when the female prostitutes gave birth to babies through their ceremonial orgies, they would take the babies that were birthed in those environments and they would murder them and sacrifice them on altars of Baal. You ever met someone that says, how could God was so loving, how could he kill people in the Old Testament? Because they did that. Because they did that. And they did it to mock God. So watch. Baal means master, possessor, or husband. But Yahweh is also the husband to Israel. He calls us his bride in Ephesians 5. So now Israel is now involved in divorcing Yahweh and being married to Baal. So Jezebel's staff numbered 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the goddess Asherah. So 850 warrior prophets that began to wage war on God's house. So watch this. They were now enforcing these practices. So now the children of Israel who once bowed their knees to Yahweh are now bowing their knees to Baal. And now in Israel, this worship is now called normal. Yeah, is that not America today? It's now normal. This perverted lifestyle of self-pleasing, do what you want, do what feels right, is now normal. And anybody that says anything against it is persecuted. This is what King Ahab created, and it all came through this woman, Jezebel. So now you would say, well, you know, I understand there was a queen named Jezebel, but why do we call it the spirit of Jezebel? I'm glad you asked. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers and against authorities, against powers of the dark world, against spiritual forces and evil in heavenly realms. So watch, it's not against people. It's against a spirit. So watch, in Revelations 2, the main scripture that I opened up with, it's Jesus speaking. He's giving John the vision of Revelation. He's speaking to John. This is coming from the mouth of Jesus 1,000 years after Jezebel died. So Jezebel died in approximately 800 BC. The Apostle John is getting the revelation from Jesus in around 96 AD. So almost 1,000 years by approximation difference. And Jesus is saying, you've tolerated this woman, Jezebel. He's not talking about the actual person. He's talking about the spirit that's in operation. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a spirit. I'm going to give you 10 characteristics of the spirit or the behavior of Jezebel. In my book, I list 33 of them. But I'm going to give you 10 for the sake of time this morning. Now, what's wild about this is we're not describing a person. We're describing a spirit. Now, here's what's crazy is that when you begin to describe this spirit, people are going to be like, oh, my goodness, this describes my family member. This describes my friend. This describes this old person that I knew in this other church. This describes this to a T. And these people aren't related and never met. It's not describing the person you know. It's describing a spirit. So I'm going to begin to describe the spirit. If you're ready, say amen. Number one, she's extremely jealous. What is she jealous of? She's jealous of everything and anything there is to be jealous of. She's jealous of your marriage. She's jealous of your prayer life. She's jealous of your friends. She's jealous of your house. She's jealous. Remember I say she, it's men or women. They're jealous of absolutely everything. Jealous of your kids. Jealous of your vacation. Jealous the pastor said hi to you and not them when they walked in the door. Jealous of who got to sing and what position and how come they got to serve there and I didn't get to serve there and I've been here forever and I haven't got to do this. They're jealous of anything there is to be jealous of. They're jealous of your social media followers. They're jealous of your the restaurants you go to. They are jealous people, and it doesn't matter what they have, it's not enough. We see the story in 1 Kings chapter 21. There was a man named Naboth who had a family vineyard. The king owned absolutely everything, but the king wanted Naboth's vineyard, and Naboth said no because it was in his family. They were jealous. Jezebel and Ahab were jealous of what they didn't have. They had almost everything, but the one thing they didn't have, they wanted. You know the reason why God asked you to give 10%? Because he wants to challenge you to give up things. Do you know it's good for you to not have everything you want all the time? If God answered all of your prayers, would you pray? The problem is your prayer life is mostly about stuff when it should just be about intimacy. She's jealous of everything. Anything you tell her, she becomes jealous of. Jealous personality. Number two, she will not submit. See, we don't know if you're submitted until your will is tested. As long as you get to do whatever you want to do when you want to do it, we don't know if you're submitted. Because you get to do what you want to do. We find out you're submitted when there's a scripture that contradicts your lifestyle. Then you have to determine if you're submitted or not. I always find it funny when people are like, Pastor, we're with you for life. I'm like, whoa, that's weird. Don't do that. I was a pastor's kid, and people would stand up in my dad's church, and they'd be like, "Pastor, we're with you for life. We're lifers." I'm like, start the countdown clock. These guys are about out of here. No, because it's just weird. I don't wake up and tell my wife, "Babe, we're lifers." We wake up, we're like, "Brush your teeth." Why? Because we've committed to each other. We don't have to recommit what we've already committed because we've committed it. That's just weird. We don't know if you're submitted until your will is tested. It's funny, we have little kids and, you know, we're posting pictures of going to the TCU game or going to the park or the pool or anything like that. And we always post pictures when we're on the way. And we're smiling and laughing and everybody's having fun. And then it gets to a point where it's time to go. And then all of a sudden, my four-year-old is like, "No." I'm like, "Who are you?" He's like, "I am Legion. We are many." I'm like, "Get in the stroller." I'm like, pushing. Like, I should be able to physically manhandle a four-year-old. He is for sure not submitted. And many of you are like that. Would you serve?
No! I need to receive.
Yeah, so does everybody, but serving children's once a month. That's usually when the rebellious person is like, "I left my last church because they don't teach the meat." Like, grown-ups feed themselves. That's why we have a personal daily plan. Every day you could be in your word. God can speak to you and you can eat all the meats you want. Jezebel will not submit. She won't submit to leadership. She won't submit to any accountability. She won't submit in a marriage. She won't submit to any authority. It was 10 churches and all the churches, "Oh, they did this, they did this, they did that." I know there's jacked up churches. I've been in them too. But if you can't submit, you have the issue. See, here's the thing, is submission, this is good, is you controlling you, not someone else controlling you. Probably want to write that down. Submission is when you control you, not someone else controlling you. Number three, information is her ammunition. She uses the information she knows about you against you. So what you tell her becomes bullets in her gun to be used against you. And this person is so good at getting information out of you. "Tell me what you really think and tell me what you're feeling and talk to me more about it." She's the best friend that you just met that you wish you didn't. And you end up just telling all how I feel and how I do this. And then she's got these soothsaying prophetic words about you. That wasn't from God. You told her that. That's not prophecy, that's soothsaying. See, before, it is true, before you encounter Jezebel, your past is your testimony. But then afterwards, oh, you know she had a baby out of it. You know that they did this. You know they were divorced. You know they did this. You know what happened here, and you know about his past. Well, you've known that the whole time. In fact, they told you that out of confidence because you were pretending to love them. But now it's being used against you to manipulate you. Information is ammunition. Number four, she's very seductive. So it sounds like, "I wish my husband would. I wish my husband was like you. My husband never does this." One time this lady on Facebook said, "I wish my husband would travel and preach like you." I'm like, block. Love that button. You say, that's a little rude. No, it's not. Because I felt the seduction in it. You know, you're not just sexually seduced, but you're spiritually seduced. You know what spiritually seduction sounds like? It sounds like whatever you want it to sound like. It's prophetic words that lead you on and pull you in. I just feel like so much blessing. I feel like there's just so much blessing. There's just insane blessing. God's gonna bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. No, you're not. You're not. You're not. You're not gonna be blessed. You're living in sin. You don't honor God. You're absolutely in full rebellion. He's not. But people say that because they want something from you. There was a king that was going around and he said, all these prophets are just telling me what I need to hear. I need to hear from God, not what I want to hear. How is telling you what you want to hear helping you? You need to hear from God, not friends that just tell you what you want to hear. Isn't this what we do? Like, I really just feel like the Lord's telling me this. And I told my four friends about it. They're friends of mine. So they tell me back exactly what I told them. Confirmation. It's not confirmation. You're all in rebellion. We've been seduced by this blessing. Don't get it twisted. The foundation scripture of this church is teach me your ways that I may know you and find favor, but get the right order. Teach me your ways that I would know you. Then I find your favor. Not find your favor, do whatever I want, and I'm going to live according to my ways. You could only be spiritually seduced by what's already in your heart. That's why it's so important to learn the ways of God so that you don't trick yourself. You are the greatest deceiver of you. That's why it's so important to have people in your life that you give permission to be accountable to. Do you know, even me as the lead pastor of this church, I'm accountable to the elders. We have apostolic elders that we submit to and that we're accountable to. We're a part of the Gateway Network. Do you know why? Because we understand the power of being submitted. Number five, she stirs up strife and sows seeds of discord. What does that sound like? It sounds like this. I really discern something about them. I can't tell you what it is because I'm pretending to be spiritual, but I just discern something. And now I'm going to tell four people, so now we're all trying to figure it out. I just really discern something about Jasmine. Don't know what it is, but do you notice that she doesn't even face the audience when she worships? It's September 1st, it's 110 degrees out, and she's wearing a sweatshirt. She's probably hiding a tattoo. I really discerned something about Jasmine, and now we're all trying to be spiritual too, so we're like, oh yeah, let's find it together. Do you notice when Pastor Heather went like this, she kept singing? This is the universal sign to shut it in church. And they just kept going, Jezebel! You're laughing, but this is what we do. I just discern something. Let's get a small group of discernment and just find. Hold on, let me just shatter your pretend spirituality for a second. Do you know discernment is not a spiritual gift? You've been walking around telling everybody that you have the gift of discernment. It's not even a gift. Discerning the spirits is a gift. What you have might be from Jezebel. Do you know your job is to not find the worst in people, it's to find the best in people? You know what you should be doing? Walking around. I discern greatness in that person. I discern leadership in that person. I discern power in that person. I think that person's a world changer. I think God's going to heal their marriage. I think God's going to set them free. That is what we do. Are y'all doing okay? Is it too heavy for me to... Hold on. I haven't even said it yet. If I told you that God hates your discord and gossip, would you be upset? Because that's what Proverbs 6 says. He hates. The 7-1 is abomination. You should stop talking about people's sexuality when you gossip. Because Proverbs 6 and 7 says it is an abomination. What is? Proverbs 6, 19, a false witness that breathes out lies and one who sows discord amongst brothers. Do you know what this is, what the Pharisees did? When they had a problem with Jesus, they went to his disciples. When they had a problem with the disciples, they went to Jesus. They're trying to break unity. Let me help you. If you get anything today, get this. If you have a problem with someone, go to them. Let me help you. If you don't go to them, you'll never be healthy. Matthew 18, go to your brother. It doesn't say go to Facebook. It says go to your brother. It doesn't say go to your other four friends. Go to your brother. Go to your mother-in-law. Go to the person. At Mercy Culture, we say this phrase. We say lean into awkward. What does that mean? Is I lean close to you so I don't pull away from you. And I'm going to lean into an awkward conversation so that we can have health today. Matthew 18, go to your brother. If they don't listen, the whole point is to win them. If they don't listen, go again with a witness. If they don't listen again, then bring leadership. If they refuse to listen in their rebellion, they can go on their way. But until you follow Matthew 18, you will just sow seeds of discord. Number six, this one's fun. She starts unsanctioned private ministries without permission. Now, I told you she's not submitted. So she starts ministries on her own, outside any covering and authority, because she's not submitted, and then she's appalled that the church doesn't want prayer. I can't believe they don't want prayer, and they call themselves mercy. No, we just don't want your Jezebelic hands laid on folk, and we don't know about it. What are you laughing at? When I was first started youth pastor, and there was a guy in our youth ministry who started his own Bible study that was not a part of any of the Bible studies within the youth ministry. And he was an older guy and gathering these young guys, and all these young guys were part of the Bible studies that were a part of the church. And so I called one of the guys. I was like, hey, you want to go hang out? And he's like, oh, I can't. I'm going to Bible study. I'm like, what Bible study? Bible study's on Monday, not Thursday. He's like, oh, this guy started his own. I said, really? I went and talked to him. I was like, hey, we have Bible study. Why don't you be a part of ours? And then we can help train you, and then we'll start more. He's like, I just really feel like the Lord called me to start my own. I was like, but that's not how we do it here. Because this isn't your sphere of influence. You've gone in the church, and you're pulling people from in the church, and pulling them, watch, to you, not to the house. I said, hey, you can't do this. And he was a lot older than me, and I was a young youth pastor. And he got so mad. Landon doesn't even want us reading our Bibles. Yes, I do. Every day, alone, by yourself. Go do it. Not manipulating, drawing people to you so that you have influence over young guys in the church. You say, why is this such a big deal? Because it shows motives of the heart. My wife had a dream, a vision, passion, to see justice in human trafficking. God gave her an open vision about 11 years ago. And we're to a point in our marriage where we're about ready to launch this ministry that God showed her. And we're in Austin about to come here, and she's starting to start it. And she's getting all the ducks in a row and, you know, starting to network and get everybody together and gather the troops. And all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and said, wait for Mercy Culture. But I already told her as a husband, yes. So I went to her, I was like, hey, babe, you're going to hate me. I know I said yes, and we've already started emailing and gathering and doing everything, but I think I heard the Lord, I know I heard the Lord say, wait for Mercy Culture. And she's like, why did you tell me to do it? I'm like, because I love you, and I want to support you, and I want to be behind you, and I believe in you. And she was not happy with me. I don't know what's going on right here, but I just sense a spirit. Starts with a J. It's not Jesus. I'm joking. She went and prayed, came back to me, and she said, I feel like I'm supposed to submit. She's like, let's wait. Watch. Everything in me is behind her, and it's ours, and we're doing it together because she was willing to submit her vision. Listen, watch. The church can't cover unsubmitted vision. If it's not submitted, it can't be covered. That's why it's so important to learn how to submit it. Verse 7, she operates in confusion. So let me get this straight. You absolutely love your church. Your kids are growing. Your life's turned around. God's done so much. And then you had one conversation with one person, and you're confused about, should you be there? Should you be doing it? Should you even be involved? You have one conversation with one person, and there's no clarity. There's just confusion. Where did that confusion come from, Jezebel? You know, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. I'll give you a story. So this lady sent me a message on Facebook, and she said, I have a prophetic dream for you. Can I share it with you? I was like, she asked permission. That's classy. She understands order. And a day goes by, and I hadn't had a chance to respond to her yet, and then she sent me the vision. I was like, I thought you were going to... That's what I thought. And so she sends it to me, and so I'm reading it, and it's full of, you know, rainbow clouds, and it's like a chapter from Narnia, and all this stuff, and gold dust, and rainbows, and flowers, and all this stuff, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, man, I don't know about this. And so then I'm checking my heart. I'm like, all right, do I have a problem with women in ministry? Absolutely not. Okay, can I receive from a woman? Yes, of course I can. Do I love prophecy? Yes. Okay. So what's the problem? So I read it three more times, and then I gave it to my wife to read. I said, read this. And so Heather's reading it. I said, read it again. Read it out loud. So she's reading out loud, and there was nothing in this email that was actually prophetic. There was nothing in it that spoke to my destiny. It could be easily something that was given from watching Lord of the Rings and following me on social media. So Heather's reading it out loud, and I just said, I'm so confused. And the moment I said I'm confused, I heard the Holy Spirit say, Jezebel. So watch this. This confusing word, all of a sudden, like, the Lord just gave me the revelation. It would cause me to go back her for explanation. So I'd have to go to her. I'm like, man, I don't even know what to do with this. Can you explain this to me? And so I would go and bring it to her, and let me tell you what the Lord is saying. And she would just unveil all of the Lord's goodness. Thank you so much. And then she would be able to go to other people in the church and say, you know, I had a word for Landon. And if God has given me a word for Landon, he's probably given me a word for you. Come on over. Let's have a sleepover. This is how this works. It seduces you through confusion. Let me say that. If it doesn't make sense, it's probably not God. Do you know prophecy shouldn't even tell you something new? Prophecy should confirm what God has already spoken into your heart. It should be a yes and amen to the things that God have already spoken to you. She operates in confusion. Listen, our job isn't to pull people to us. Have you heard me say three times already today that our vision is for you to have a personal encounter with God? Guess what? I'm not a part of your personal encounter. Because a healthy church pushes you into the presence of God, not just draws you into the community of the church. Number 8, she won't accept apologies or forgive. And this one messed with me for years. I would apologize to a person and apologize to a person and apologize to a person. I mean, over and over and over. And they would bring up the same thing 10 years ago, the same thing. Then I realized I didn't even do the things I was apologizing for, but I was just apologizing to make peace. And I was apologizing. And finally, one day in frustration, I said, Lord, why won't Jezebel accept apologies? And I heard the Lord say, what's an apology? I said, he said, what's forgiveness? And I said, letting go. So if she forgives you, she has to let go of it. And because she wants to control you, she won't let go of it. And that's why she keeps bringing you up. The Bible says when you forgive, you're throwing into the seas of forgetfulness and you're remembering it no more. The apostles went to Jesus and said, how many times a day do we have to forgive? Up to 7 times? He said, no, 70 times 7. What a degree that is so insane that it must take God. Let me drop this bomb on you. If you can't forgive, you might not be a Christ follower. Jezebel will not forgive. Number nine, she has no spiritual fruit. She has no fruit of the Spirit. And let me just teach for a second, because in the Church of America, because we don't have spiritual fruit, we create new fruit that doesn't exist and call it fruit because we don't have spiritual fruit. So let me just help you. Your big house isn't spiritual fruit. It's a big house. It's 6 bedrooms with 4-car garage. It's not spiritual fruit. Your car, that's not spiritual fruit. It's called a Mercedes. It's not fruit. All of that stuff that you're trying to claim as fruit isn't fruit. Can I tell you what fruit is? Galatians 5 says it's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's goodness, it's kindness, it's faithfulness, and it's self-control. But because we don't have fruit, we have to substitute. She has no love. She's not loving. She has no self-control. She has no fruit of the Spirit. Number 10, she is, remember, it's him or her, never, ever, 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 forever, ever, ever, ever wrong. She's never wrong. She's never wrong. She's never wrong. You catch her on video red-handed, she's never wrong. You have it in writing, documented, she's never wrong. It is clear as day, she is never wrong. It's like nailing Jell-O to a wall, never wrong. And this is actually how Jezebel was exposed in my life. I said this one phrase, how could we be right every time? Do you know the answer is? You can't. You can't. And if you're right every time, Jezebel may be involved. Running out of time, worship team, come join me on the stage. 4 tactics. Don't play, just come hang with me. 4 tactics of Jezebel's control. Number 1, fear. Number 2, manipulation. Number 3, intimidation. Number 4, domination. 1 Kings chapter 18, watch this with me. One of the greatest demonstrations of God's power in human history besides the cross, fire falls from heaven and consumes the altar that Elijah built. If you're going to Israel with us in November, we're going to stand on Mount Carmel together. Fire falls from heaven, consumes the altars of Baal, and watch this. One woman sends a messenger to threaten Elijah. 1 Kings 19 says this. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger, someone say messenger, to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me ever so severely if you are not one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself was a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat underneath it, and he prayed that he might die. Here's what he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Watch this. He has one of the greatest moments of successful ministry and power of God. Fire falls from heaven. He confronts 850 murderous false prophets and one woman who he has never met threatens him through a messenger. And he runs for his life. He's full of fear. He's full of anxiety. He's running and asking God to take his life. Does this make sense to you? Just think about this for a second. Fire falls, consumes everything, public victory, and one woman threatens him through email. From a biblical perspective, Elijah and Jezebel never even met face to face. She is the queen of threats. So you respond to Jezebel's threats instead of the situation you're dealing with. You stop listening to God because you're listening to her threats. Do you know what one of her threats sounds like? If you leave this church, you're cursed. So let me get this straight. So we preach a gospel that no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, you can come to this altar of grace and find mercy, and Jesus will heal you, set you free, and deliver you. Even before, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you and set his life for you. But if you leave our church, you're cursed. What? But when she says it, you think it's true. So you respond to her threats rather than obeying God. Here's the problem. Is listeners of Jezebel become activators of Jezebel. You cannot listen to her message. You can't listen to her words. What does that mean? It means block the number. It means don't respond to the email. It means block private messages. Stop reading. Stop listening. We did a prophetic conference one time, and this one lady sent me this email. And the moment I opened up the email, I felt the Spirit on the email. And the opening line was, "You say you know about Jezebel. I think you are a Jezebel. Delete." Poor thing, probably spent 2 hours writing that thing. It was like a chapter of my next book. I was like, oh, isn't that sweet? Delete. Do you know why? Because I'm not listening to her witchcraft. When I was writing my book, Gay Awareness, just about before it was coming out, I went to meet a pastor friend for dinner. And the first thing he says to me, we weren't even in the restaurant yet, he goes, "A friend of mine called me today." I said, "Yeah?" He goes, "Yeah, a pastor friend of mine." He said, "You know Landon Schott?" He's like, "Yeah, Landon and I are buddy." He goes, "You better tell him not to write that book." And the moment he said that, it's like I felt someone reach down my throat and rip the air out of my body. An instant rush of anxiety came. Watch this. A pastor is talking to a pastor and repeating a conversation from another pastor. And I feel witchcraft. My heart starts beating, anxiety rushes in me. So I just start praying in tongues under my breath. Cast the Jezebel out of him, cast the Jezebel out of IHOP, do it all. Now watch, if witchcraft can flow through words from pastors, what do you think it does in your family? You have to learn how to recognize witchcraft and not allow her words near you. 2 Kings chapter 9, Jehu understood how to do this. Over and over, there was messengers coming out to reach him, coming out to stop him as Jehu was warring to come and take down Jezebel. And it says this in verse 18, "So a man on horseback went out to meet him, thus saying the king, 'Is it peace?' And Jehu said, 'What do you have to do with peace? Turn around and get behind me.' And the watchman reported, 'The messenger reached them, but he is not coming back.'" Don't allow those messages to stay in front of you. You need to learn how to say, "Get behind me, Satan." Watch, when Peter went to Jesus and said, "Lord, no, you can't die," he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter, this is his number one, top three disciple. He said, no, "I'm not having those witchcraft words in front of me. Get it behind me." You have to learn how to recognize this fear. Number two is manipulation. Don't underestimate her ability to manipulate. She's undisciplined, so she manipulates. How does she do it? She does it with pouting, sulking, silent treatment, obsessive behavior, tantrums, sexual favors, and money. She will try to manipulate the Bible to hurt you. Manipulating the Bible to hurt people is witchcraft. Don't get me wrong, the sword cuts, but it's a cut that brings healing, not hurt. The sword cuts off flesh. It doesn't cut off ears. It's a sword of healing. Number three. Oh, I had a guy invite me to his church to manipulate me, asked me to teach on Jezebel because he was operating in the spirit of Jezebel and was trying to use my message as a weapon. I walked into the foyer and I heard in my spirit, he's trying to use you. But the beautiful thing is the message on Jezebel exposed everything. His affair was exposed 6 months later. He contacted me on every social media there was, harassing me nonstop. Said, bro, you did this to yourself. Block. Someone just needs to say this by faith. Block. Just felt the Lord on that. Number three, intimidation. She painted her eyes according to scripture to make them look bigger, like professional football players do. And overall, she tried to do it to create intimidation. How does she intimidate? She tries to mock you, talk down to you, compare you, insult you, anything she can. I gotta finish this. Number four, the final one is complete and total domination. If she doesn't get her way, she will make you pay. She'll push you and push you and push you till you do anything for peace. You'll do anything to appease her. And let me tell you, peace at any cost is spiritual terrorism. And you cannot make peace with a demon. And no matter what you do, this spirit will not rest until you are broken and dead. And here's what scripture tells us. Man, you can begin to play. In Revelations 2:20, Jesus said, I have this against you. You tolerate this woman, Jezebel. Church, we have tolerated. I'm closing with this. We have tolerated this spirit. It's amazing. That's one of the anthems of America today, right? Tolerance. And God's word says, don't tolerate sexual perversion. Don't tolerate the spirit. And here's what I came to tell you this morning. Don't tolerate it in you. And don't tolerate it in your home. I was made aware of the Jezebel spirit. It was destroying my life. Heather and I got to this place where I felt so attacked. This one moment I could barely talk. I couldn't formulate words. I felt this demonic oppression all over me. I felt suicidal. And most of all, I felt like I truly believed God didn't want to use me. I was ready to give up on everything. I'm driving in my car. Heather's asleep next to me. And I hear an audible voice out loud that says, leave your wife before she's pregnant. Out loud. Wants to kill and destroy. It's one night we're in our apartment together. This demonic oppression, this panic attack came on me. And Heather came over me and started laying hands on me, just praying in the Holy Spirit. And then the peace of God filled our apartment. She started rebuking the Jezebel spirit. And it began to lift. And here's what we said. We said, we're not going to tolerate this. Watch in us. We're not going to live in fear. 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 We're not going to tolerate it in our family. We're not going to tolerate it in our church. This church is 4 months old. It may be a little premature to be talking about the Jezebel spirit in your church. But you know, I prayed and fasted for 2 years that this would be a mature body. Ahab went to the prophet Elijah and he said, there you are, you troubler of Israel, I found you. And Elijah turned around and said, you didn't find me. I found you. Someone needs to stand to your feet today. Say, Jezebel, you didn't find me. I found you. Stand your feet all over this place. Lift your hands to a holy God. Let's begin to take authority over this right now.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.